Bombardier announces two new planes at NBAA. Garmin debuts the G5000 in Atlanta. And Greece awards a contract to Pratt & Whitney. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 19th, 2010. NBAA 2010 officially opens today, and Bombardier Aerospace is introducing the Global 7000 and Global 8000 at the show, adding two models to the company's large, ultra-long-range lineup, which already included the Global 5000 and Global Express XRS. President Steve Ridolfi recalls, quote, "The global aircraft platform gained instant worldwide recognition for design and performance when it was first introduced in 1996. By extending this great aircraft family, we are once again offering a business jet travel experience that is unmatched and ahead of its time." Unquote. The Global 7000 features a spacious four-zone cabin that measures 2,637 cubic feet, has a high-speed cruise of Mach 0.9, and a range of 7,300 nautical miles at Mach 0.85. Entry into service is scheduled for 2016. The Global 8000 boasts a three-zone cabin of 2,236 square feet and a range of 7,900 nautical miles at Mach 0.85. It should start reaching customers in 2017. Both planes have modern cabin and environmental features, and Bombardier says both will feature the most up-to-date version of the Global Vision flight deck that's available at the time they come out. If you think back 10 years, the folly of getting too specific about what avionics will do 6 years ahead becomes pretty obvious. Garmin announced yesterday it's developing a revolutionary integrated flight deck for the Part 25 business jet market. The Garmin G5000 is designed specifically for crew-flown turbine aircraft and includes a dual multi-sensor flight management system. Widescreen displays with touchscreen controls aim to give pilots more useful information at their fingertips than ever before, like worldwide weather, synthetic vision, aircraft synoptics, electronic flight charts, and more. Garmin marketing VP Gary Kelly says he's confident the G5000 will exceed the expectations of flight departments. Quote, "Like other Garmin products, the G5000's architecture is designed with future growth and technologies in mind. Customers and aircraft manufacturers will be able to add significant capabilities to the system in the future, often without requiring additional hardware." Unquote. Garmin expects TSO from the FAA in 2012. Cessna has already announced it will use the G5000 in a Citation business jet. Greece has awarded Pratt & Whitney a $34 million contract to supply additional F-100 spare engines in support of the Hellenic Air Force's fleet of F-16s. The first delivery is scheduled for this December. VP Bill Begert commented, quote, "Pratt & Whitney F-100 engines have powered the Hellenic Air Force's Block 52 plus F-16 fleet since 2002. We are excited about extending the benefits of the lower total cost of ownership in the form of the EEP engine." Unquote. EEP stands for Enhanced Engine Package, which, among other benefits, increases the engine depot inspection interval from 7 to 10 years, providing up to a 30% life cycle cost reduction. Now, if the checks will only clear. Up next on ANN, Great Falls beats out Boise for the basing of new C-27s. Boeing sees Russia as a growth market. And Judicial Watch gets more numbers on Pelosi 1. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 19th. I'm Paul Platt. U.S. Air Force officials have announced that Great Falls International Airport in Montana has won out over Boise Air Terminal Air Guard Station in Idaho as the seventh operational location for basing four C-27J Spartan aircraft. The C-27J is a twin turboprop designed to meet the Air Force requirement for a rugged, medium-sized transport. It gives U.S. troops a unique short takeoff and landing capability, providing access to airstrips otherwise unreachable by fixed-wing aircraft. The decision to base four of the planes at Great Falls won't become official until completion of environmental impact analysis. That's expected by May of 2011, with aircraft arriving starting in mid-2014. Boeing thinks air carriers in Russia and the Commonwealth of Independent States will take delivery of about 960 new airliners over the next 20 years, spending $90 billion. The need for fuel efficiency is part of it, but Boeing marketing VP Randy Tinseth adds, quote, demand for airplanes also will be fueled by an increase in the number of people flying to, from, and within Russia and CIS. We expect passenger traffic for the region to grow at a rate of 4.8% on average, unquote. Boeing sees a demand in the Russian and CIS market for 160 new efficient twin-aisle airplanes, like its 787 Dreamliner. Judicial Watch has used an additional Freedom of Information Act request to get more records from the U.S. Air Force on the use of its planes by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. They show that from March of 2009 through June of this year, Pelosi used Air Force aircraft on 85 flights, at least two of which included family members, as passengers. An earlier disclosure raised eyebrows when Air Force records showed that over a two-year period, the speaker's use of Air Force aircraft had cost taxpayers $2.1 million, including more than $100,000 for in-flight food and alcohol. The Bush administration defended the practice of using Air Force assets for commuting by the Speaker of the House as necessary to ensure the security of the leadership succession. But Pelosi's documented habit of making wasteful last-minute requests and cancellations drew charges that the Air Force had become her personal airline. When she insisted she be provided with a C-32A, which is what the Air Force calls its Boeing 757s, Republicans dubbed it Pelosi One. Still ahead, American Eurocopter recognizes a safety leader. Air Lease Corp finalizes a purchase of new E-Jets. And here's a car that's lighter than some LSAs. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Sirius, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Sirius Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Starflight, short for Shock Trauma Air Rescue, was started in 1985 as a way to provide advanced life support and transport to residents of Travis County, Texas, particularly the outlying areas near Austin. Today, Starflight has expanded with more helicopters and now serves a 19-county region. American Eurocopter has selected the program to receive its fourth annual Vision Zero Aviation Safety Award. The award both honors STAR's investment and proactive accomplishments in training and safety, and includes a check for $10,000 to help keep a good thing going. Among the facets of the award-winning emphasis on safety are Starflight's commitment to equip its fleet for full single-pilot IFR, including dual three-axis autopilots, HTAWs, and dual Garmin 430-530 GPS units. The organization has gone beyond legal requirements and adopted all NTSB safety recommendations, including becoming certified as a Part 135 carrier, something now being proposed by the FAA for all helicopter air medical services. Following up on an earlier memo of understanding, Embraer and newly formed Air Lease Corporation have signed the final agreement for the acquisition of 15 Embraer 190 jets, with five additional options. First delivery is scheduled for June of next year. The order was first announced at the Farnborough Air Show in July. The E-190 is the third of the four members of the E-Jet family. It's a brand new commercial aircraft that entered service in August of 2005. The jet can be configured in one or two classes and seats 98 to 114 passengers in a comfortable four abreast or two and two, no middle seat configuration. It can fly up to 2,400 nautical miles nonstop. And finally today, much of the 20th century was spent by car makers adapting aviation technologies to automobiles. The results included greater use of aluminum in engines, GPS navigation systems for the road, and, for a brief moment in the 1950s, fins inspired by vertical stabilizers. But so far, it looks as if the 21st century may see some technology migrate the other way. Among the signs is the very light car, being developed by Edison II in the quest to achieve 100 miles per gallon on the highway. Edison II is based in Lynchburg, Virginia, and has the project on display at Aviation Unleashed, a three-day forum sponsored by NASA's Langley Research Center and National Institute of Aerospace in Hampton, Virginia this week. The very light car just won $5 million in the Automotive XPRIZE competition. NASA's David Hinton explains, quote, "Some of the technologies that have made the very light car possible could be used in airplanes, so we thought Edison II's knowledge and experience would interest an audience that's focusing on what's possible in aviation," unquote. Edison II chief designer Ron Mathis is scheduled to be the conference luncheon speaker today, with the car displayed nearby. If you think it's unrealistic that automotive technology could make aircraft lighter, consider that Edison II's four-passenger very light car comes in under 800 pounds, about the same as a typical two-seat light sport aircraft. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell gets a status update on the Eclipse 500 from Eclipse Aerospace President and Chairman Mason Holland. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.